I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, Episode 17 for Game 6, Hobart at RPI to take on the Engineers. It's a 12 noon start, a little different. On Saturday, we're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
So before we go back into the Ithaca game, they come in off a bye week, get a chance to get healthy. You come in off a not very challenging game against Keystone. Does that make it harder? Would it be more preferable to have a tougher game leading into that Ithaca game?
I think it depends on your team. I think this year's team, just with coming off of the win against Fisher the week before, I thought we were heading in the right direction. So the win at Keystone gave us the ability to maybe rest some of the ones, as if not to say it was a complete bye week, but they didn't have to play the full four quarters there. Obviously, we knew Ithaca was going to be a different opponent than Keystone in terms of just depth and experience. I don't think the week prior on our end, whether it was a really strong opponent or not, changed how we played against Ithaca. I think having that extra bye week, that was the advantage we had knew. We obviously couldn't change that, but the last three times we played Ithaca, they've had that bye week before us. And I just think when you open up league play, knowing it was going to be a physical game, Hobart, Ithaca, a lot on the line. Having that extra week to prepare for them would have been helpful. But at the same time, we look at how the game played out. It was more the in-game performance more so than what happened the week or the week and a half before that.
Football is a game of momentum. You're in that game mid-second quarter. It's a one-score game. All you need is we need a stop here and a score. Instead, they score on a trick play, recover a fumble, and score 15 seconds later. And at that point, you don't want to say it's ball game, but realistically, three scores down against Ithaca doesn't give you a great chance to come back.
No, and that was the frustrating part as a coaching staff, was we knew we wanted to get to the first half with that game going in the second half is with us a lead, them tie game, making it a true one possession game late in the game, put the pressure back on them. And honestly, you look at the first drive, I liked where we were at. We were backed up. We moved the ball. We have a very easy convertible third down, and we miss a throw that we got to be able to make. And if we succeed on that one, we're in the score zone, and now we score first, likely. And all of a sudden now, things are different. But instead, we punt it away. We have a chance to get off the field third and long. Our corner falls down. Just woulda, shoulda, coulda's. And not saying that those plays define everything, but now we get the ball back with good field position at 0-0. Instead, they convert on it. Now they go down the field. I think it was like a 40-some yard completion that we gave up when our corner slipped. That's a big third and long completion. They go down and eventually score, so it's 7-0, and we're fine. We come back, we're driving, and we're past the midline. We're right where we want to be, and then unfortunately our quarterback makes a really poor choice on a first and 10 play, something we don't need to do. And we talked about, we knew going into that game that the takeaways, turnovers, and field position were going to be really key components with two really good teams. And I know our quarterback wants that one back, but he made a poor choice, gave them a short field. Yes, our defense should have been able to, respond and hold them, and we gave up a poor read by an upperclassman. And all of a sudden now, the bang-bang play, it's 14-0. And then, just a bad mistake on our part that turned into worse when we had, the inability to recover it, inability to tackle them. And all of a sudden, you look up and it was 21-0. And we really only had one real possession on offense. And that's the frustrating part as an offensive coordinator, is that the rest of the game we played pretty even. And it was really those two plays, that 14-point swing. And I'm not saying who knows what the outcome would have been the second half, but our plan was now we had to change some of the things we were doing offensively, just knowing time of possession. They were able to possess the ball, so we were maximizing our possessions as best as possible. We turned in a little bit more pass than a run game. And to beat Ithaca, you got to be balanced. And I thought that then allowed them to pin their ears back in the pass rush, especially when we weren't healthy necessarily at our tackle position. They just started to kind of, the momentum, like you said, goes in a lot of different directions. So I really put it back on our execution early in the game and or our inability to execute at some really crucial situations dictated that really how that game played out in the first half. And it's not any different than we planned. And again, that's why I say it doesn't matter if whether you had a bye week or not. Those are throws, decisions on offense, defense, and special teams by a fifth-year senior, a junior, guys who have experience that if you ask them flat out and they're honest, they know that they can make those plays. So when it comes back to it, we're going to put the onus back on us is we have to, in a really good game against good teams, we have to be able to execute. And that's what we've done in the past. And this year we've just been inconsistent to do that for the whole duration of a game.
Sometimes you just get plain bad luck. I think if that fumble were to happen 10 times, you'd recover it 9. I mean, it looked like, okay, when it happened, I'm thinking, we're going to recover this. It'll be 2nd and 17. Two guys bump into each other, ball squirts free, and then they're running clear.
Absolutely. And it's a bounce that doesn't usually happen, you know, with two guys who are both trying to do it. And then even after that, we had a guy that had an ability to make a tackle to let our defense come back on the field and maybe we hold him to a field goal. It's just that's where it got compounded really quickly, and I think that's the part that we talked about. And then really it was the response to that. It took us too long to respond. And again, if we're a really good team, we're going to find a way to start chipping away at that, and it just took us too long. And again, credit, Ithaca has very good talent, has very good depth and experience, and I think their experience showed out at times with our inexperience. And our more experienced guys had to play better in that game, and they didn't. And that's where I say, well, we're always honest with our guys. The losses we'll put back on the coaching staff. The wins always go to the players. But at the end of the day, we need to be able to execute in some crucial situations when we got the guys in the right positions to make plays.
We talked going into the game about Ithaca's dink and dunk passing game, but they went to the long ball earlier than I thought they would. Were you a little surprised how quickly they went to the long ball and the success they had with it?
No, I mean, I think when they look at it, the one trick play was our guys being too aggressive. And we knew, they were going to key up a couple of their key athletes. They actually, to their credit, they were actually more patient and, hitting the outside. And we were trying to early on make them have to earn it. And that one drive was a long drive. I thought we had the ability to maybe tackle a little bit better on a couple of the third down situations. But, the one big one they went over the top was our corner was in good position, just tripped and fell, And I think, a couple of the other long ones they got, one was a scramble. I mean, the one tiptoed on the sideline, they can throw that 10 times, and most times that's going to be an incompletion. But credit, and their quarterback's a very good player, and he made some good plays, so that's no knock against their ability to throw the ball and talent. We just thought that we were going to be able to rally, and I think that's different. Again, if that score is closer, maybe our defense doesn't have to pack the box a little bit more or take some chances. And I just think at the end of the day, we knew we needed all three phases to kind of work together in that game. And if you look at it, we didn't win the special teams head-to-head. And not to say that we completely lost, it just was more of a wash. And then offensively and defensively, we each gave away some plays, big plays, that really swing both the momentum, but more importantly, the field position.
Over the last couple of years, you've been a very good third down team on both sides of the ball. On this day, they go 10 of 18 on third, and then of the 8 they didn't convert, they picked up 3 of them on fourth down. They made all those big plays at big times.
Yeah, and they were in a very workable third and fourth down situations. From an offensive coordinator standpoint, it's much easier to call third and fourth down when it's short yardage. That was a good offense. I just think that we had the ability to tackle better and maybe make some plays on defense that we could have, prevented some of those plays. At the same time, I put it back on our offense is that had we had earlier success like we had planned on and had some opportunities to, maybe that dictates a little differently when it's easy to call a play when you're up 21-0. And again, they didn't have to really press it at that point. Their defense was in really good position. And I think that's where I flip it back on us. We should have done a better job in that first half, making that a tie ball game, our lead, or a one possession game going into halftime. And, really that 4 or 5 minute swing of 14 points and field position really changed how that first half played out.
We've talked all year about the injuries, and we'll talk in a moment about guys getting healthy here during the bye week. But Rayshon Boswell, the fact that they kicked off to him deep again and again tells me that at least they thought he wasn't the full Rayshon Boswell.
Yeah, and I think a lot of teams have confidence in their return units and coverage units. Ithaca came in, statistically very strong on special teams. We had been when we produced pretty well. But, yeah, I think, we hope the teams will continue to kick it to him or any of our returners. But at this point this year, we haven't shown, and it's not necessarily the returners. We've changed some of those guys back there because of health, depth. There's some youth going. We're still trying to figure out, that combination. When we were really good in 2019 and even last year in 2021, those last two seasons we played, everyone talks about the returners, but our front was dynamic. We had guys, we had some starters out there and some guys that really athletic, strong, versatile athletes up front, and we're still working in some of those guys. I thought the bye week has helped us, and we went back and really evaluated our own schemes, our personnel at all the positions, and hopefully now that we're starting to get some of these younger guys some experience in combination of maybe getting some guys back, hopefully that the how we can perform on special teams will jump up as well as the offense and defensive side.
I think almost every team performs well coming off a bye. I mean, football's a game. You get healthy. Let's talk about guys getting healthy and, unfortunately, some guys with some illness that might not make the trip, but starting to get back to the team that you hoped you'd have all year.
Yeah, it looks on the offense side of the ball, we played some guys in the Ithaca game that were not ready in the sense of not back close to 90%, 100%, but tried to go, and because they were more experienced, we tried to have them be able to fight through it. And I thought they performed admirably, but not necessarily at their best. And then we also had some guys that were out. So I think on the offensive side of the ball, the bye week has been really helpful for us. We still have a couple question marks this week, been more just illness across campus and a couple guys who are haven't been able to practice, but we hope we'll be able to travel with us when we decide that, after today's practice. But and then on the defense side of the ball, I think same thing. We've got one or two guys that are back that have been out most of the beginning part of the season. So I think the bye week right in the middle of the season, for us timed up well, regardless if we were at 5-0, regardless what the record is right now, I like it in the middle of the season. And we're going to turn around and go on the road against a team that, obviously last year was one of the final eight teams in the country and very strong and experienced, especially on defense. So it's the right time for us to regroup, and we know we're going to have to go in. And the last time we won at RPI was 2014. And you think about it, that's a long time for a team that's had a lot of success. Playing there on the road has been tough. Obviously, the COVID year, we didn't travel there. But, I was back as an offensive coordinator in 2014. It was the last time we beat him at that place. So I know that it's a tough place to go in and win at. And I think our guys have been focused and understand that from here on out, it's no different. Like I said, whether we're 5-0, 0-5, when you go on the road in the Liberty League, you're going to have a tough game and against a tough team.
With a short league schedule, it's very difficult to come back and win the league off a loss, but you've got three unbeaten teams in the league. You've got two of them, RPI and Union. Ithaca's still got their tougher games coming up. So have you talked to the team at all about, don't think this is done. There's still a chance to win the league and go to the dance.
Yeah, we had to recalibrate their minds. Innately, when you talk about 18, 19, 20-year-olds in general, their minds go in different places than maybe us as coaches and adults do. No different than, we lost one at Morrisville State that I think that we all knew, had we performed better, could have been a win for us, and same thing, trying to recalibrate. The goal is has always been to win our conference, and that's always going to be the case. And, but that being said, we don't control our own destiny at this point, but we do control how we respond. And I think that's what more important. I've always been a big process-driven approach person versus just worry about the outcomes. And RPI could care less if we're 0-1 or 1-0 right now. They're 2-0 in conference, and RPI believes they're going to win the conference, and Union believes they're going to win the conference. I mean, the reality is in our conference, there's four or five teams that have a legitimate shot to win it. And so early on, there's still a lot of football to be played. And I just think right now, there's a lot that we can do. And it's going to take a heck of a game for us to go in and beat a very good RPI team. So we're not licking our wounds and feeling sorry for ourselves that we didn't perform the way we needed to. Ithaca's undefeated, and they won because they were the better team last Saturday. And we said that, and I was being very honest with our guys. Could we beat them? Absolutely. We didn't play well enough to beat them. And I said, RPI and our next opponents are going to – they don't care about that they are going to win their conference. And I think that's where – for our side, we're in a good position because we're now the ones that no one really thinks we're going to do much. A lot of people have counted us out, and I said, if you have any competitive pride right now, we're ready to dig this thing in, and we're going to have to go earn a victory. But I think we're in a good space right now. I think our guys understand that we are a good team, and if we play well, we can beat anybody. I think they also have been grounded to the point where, you have to go out and earn it for 60 minutes. And if we don't, you're going to play a good competition and you can give a game away. So I like that we're in that spot. And, frankly, I think we're going to come in as most people are going to be picking the other teams these next couple weeks, which is great. Let's go, and let's go see if we can earn the victory.
RPI is 4-2, 2-0 in the league, but they've really struggled to score. Almost all their points have come against two fairly weak teams. What do you make of their offensive struggles this year, especially throwing the ball? I mean, that's one of their hallmarks, is spreading it all around the field. They really haven't been able to do that against good teams.
Well, they graduated their starter last year. You know, was a fifth-year player and captain, and really did a very good job running their offense, was an efficient quarterback. So I think they played a couple different quarterbacks, so I think they're still trying to figure out that position. What I do know is they bring back, I believe, four starters up front O-line with a running back, and they're pounding it in the run game. And they have some athletic weapons on at receiver, so I'm a little surprised that they've been a little inconsistent in their scoring, but I also think their defense is so good that my hunch is they kind of didn't take as many chances earlier on, and I think it plays into they believe, and they're right. If you watch some of their games, I mean, their defense is so good that sometimes you don't have to do a lot because the defense is scoring for you or setting it up, and that's why I look at it from our standpoint on the offensive side of the ball versus defense. You know, I think it's going to be two really good defenses going at it, and then two offenses trying to figure out, like, who they still are, you know, and how often in the middle of the year are you still trying to find your identity on offense? And I think neither offense has been super consistent through the first half of the season. Both have playmakers, both have some experience at certain positions, but have been playing inconsistent. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out, because their defense, I believe, is the deepest and strongest defense we're going to face at this point. The front seven is dynamic, and up front, their D-line is very, very good. On the back end, they have some experience, and even their younger guys, I say younger because they're newer to playing, are still seniors and juniors, you know, guys that have been around the program for a while. So similar to when we played them last year, they have so many seniors and fifth years that they're products of the program, and they're going to be in the right place at the right time. You know, and I've been very clear with our team, is like, they're not going to give this thing away. We have to go in and take it and earn it. And that's true for, you know, converting on third down to being in the right place defensively and whatnot. So although we know it's a really good opponent, we put the focus back on what we haven't been doing consistently and really focus on that this week.
What are the challenges for your defense? They probably show as many different kinds of looks as any team in the league. They'll line up receivers almost as wingmen just outside the tackles. They'll bring them around in motion. They'll occasionally run them. What are the challenges trying to stop that offense?
Well, I respect that, because we often won't give teams new looks every single week. And I think that's what they do very well. You know, they have their bread and butters, but they, from week to week, they've changed their identity a little bit in terms of how they want to attack certain defenses. So I think the first, you know, 2 to 3 drives, the first quarter is really, really good to see, you know, what do they have in store for our defense. You know, as always, they want to be able to establish the run. The running back, he's a strong physical runner and is able to get those hidden yards, and that's kind of, you know, leads into, you know, how they can possess the ball, and if their defense is not giving up a lot of points, they can be more patient in the run game. And then they're going to always lull you. They'll take 3 or 4 at least, you know, shot plays, chunk plays, trickeration, something to try to get you off balance. And again, shame on us, but we gave up a big one against Ithaca in a situation they used our aggressiveness against us. And our senior safety got too aggressive and, you know, bit on it. So I'm sure they saw that on video and saying, hey, let's try to attack it. So it's a very slippery slope on defense of playing fast and aggressive. But as I put it on us before the Ithaca game, we had to be the more disciplined team, and we didn't perform that way. So you got to be able to execute and stay disciplined while you're still playing aggressive. And I think that's when you can do that, then we'll be in really good shape.
Tell us about the RPI defense. They have given up 5 points a game. They list a 3-man front, 3 linebackers, and then they have what they call a rover. What kind of looks do they give you defensively?
Yeah, they have. You know, 2 fifth-year seniors. One guy's been there for like 6 years. He came back from a medical redshirt. They'll be two of the most dynamic D linemen we're going to face. Interior, big, strong, thick. He doesn't win, or he doesn't lose very much one-on-ones. And then a defensive end who's fast, explosive, you know, and it will be in consideration for defensive player of the year in the conference. Those type of guys. So they're tough to run against, you know, with the front seven. They're 2 linebackers. They are the leading tacklers, partly because their D-line just eats up double teams and you can't get there. And then the other part is their experience. They're physical. They play downhill. So they play a 3-man front, but oftentimes walk up this linebacker into more of an even front. But they'll play odd, even, eagle fronts. They're going to mix up the fronts. And then they do a really good job in their quarters coverage, is really adding the safeties in the run game. And I think we ran it fairly well on them last year, even though it didn't always produce in the points. We probably ran it as well on them as anyone. And Tim and Ray played pretty well in that game, but their safeties were really proponents of coming down and being that extra hat in the box. So they do a great job, bend but don't break. And honestly, like I said, you say giving up 5 points, it's actually less than that, because some of it is been in times when their defense has been off the field a little bit. But scoring points is going to be a premium. You look at last year's game, it was a 10-9 finish, and we left a couple points out there, and I'm sure they're saying the same thing. But I don't anticipate this one being a 50-40 type of game. I think it's going to be early on which offense doesn't hurt themselves and which ones can capitalize on field position. And then when you're in the score zone, are you able to score 7 or you set them for field goals? And, as good as RPI's been in those two games where they really pulled away, they jumped on teams, and it was defensive special teams, short fields, setting their offense up, and their offense executed. In other games, it's taken them a little bit longer to score. And, they lost a 3-0 game that, as a defensive battle. And then they lost a 10-7 game, both against, teams that are, went in, didn't try to hurt themselves. So I think it's going to be a really interesting matchups in the sense of, we want to be aggressive on offense, but we also have to understand where we take our chances in terms of negative plays. They thrive on negative plays. I think they have twice as many interceptions as any other team in the Liberty League. They're right up there for total number of sacks. So, they'll oftentimes only rush 3 or 4. So you're thinking, all right, get as many guys out in the route as possible, but now all of a sudden you're singling up your offensive linemen. And if you stay in and try to bring extra guys and protections in the passing game, well, then you're dropping a ton of guys in coverage, and these guys are really disciplined in where they're going to be. So it's a fine line of mixing in, and it's the same mindset I always have, is you got to be able to run on good defenses, and you got to be able to be efficient in the passing game. And when the opportunities are there, and you look at it, in 2019 when we played them, we hit some big plays. Last year we had a couple big plays in the run game, but it was tough for both teams to throw, partly because of the weather and partly because both defenses were playing pretty well. So, this could play out a couple different ways, but I just know going in, you got to earn everything against this defense. And they're usually very solid. They're not going to be out of place. And when we had opportunities last year, we didn't always execute when we needed to. We had a couple fumbled snaps, things that kind of were drive killers for us that we can't do that against good defense.
Like you said, I know you want to get 7 when you get in the red zone, but typically over the years in this game, field goals have been important. They had a kicker that went to the NFL a few years ago. The year that Shane Sweeney led the 4 comebacks, there were actually 5, but you scored, left them a little bit of time, and they came back and got the win. So I would almost say that the team that kicks the most field goals might win this game.
Yeah, and that's where I think the special teams is going to come into play. And you're right. I mean, when they played Fisher, and Fisher takes the opening drive down, kicks a field goal, 3-0, I don't know if everybody thought that was going to be the final score, but points are at a premium. And it goes back to literally every time I coached the PAT field goal group, I said every time we take the field, there's points. And points matter, in last year's game, blocked PAT was the difference potentially in that outcome. So, without a doubt, we know it's going to come down there, and we always work our score zone period on offense, knowing how important that is. And I think good teams kick field goals, great teams score 7. So hopefully, I'm sure they're saying the same thing against our defense, trying to get 7 versus 3, but I would think one of the keys to the game is going to be, which team can do the best inside the 20, if and when you get there, because it doesn't get there often against both defenses. And, our defense has to know when our back's against the wall, can we be a really great defense and make them settle for a field goal attempt or get a stop like we did last year in the score zone.
One last thing. David Crewson, I think, has really developed well as a quarterback this year, but unfortunately for a lot of the year, he's been throwing to a very inexperienced group of receivers. Starting to get some of those guys back now. Chris Bartosik, you're going to take a look at him in practice this week. Might be ready, might not, but for him to have a few more weapons is going to be big.
Yeah, I think without a doubt, I think David's season's kind of been up and down so far, and really he's been trending really well. I don't think he played his best game against Ithaca, and if he's being honest with you, he knows there's some decisions and plays he can do better. I think unfortunately, again, not being at full health was a factor of it, but it really came down to our execution, and there was a couple plays where we didn't win against some of the coverages, and I put that on the eligible receivers that were out. There was a couple situations where we had breakdowns on protections. There was a couple times we had breakdowns on the quarterback read and or accuracy in throwing. So unfortunately, it wasn't just one thing. But if we do that three or four times, that's three or four drives we don't have, you know, execution on. And I think that's where, if you look at our third and fourth down execution in that game, it wasn't just one person. It wasn't just one play. It was a combination of when we're really playing well, each one of those groups picks it up a little bit. And I said, that's the reality. That's why we're an inconsistent offense right now. And it bothers me to say that because that's not typically who we are, but that's who we are right now. And, you know, I trust that we have our evaluation of our best guys out there. But when we're in those situations, our best guys have to perform. And I think that's where last week we put all the focus on Hobart and really, you know, pulling the layers back and really identifying where our strengths are, where our weaknesses are. And, you know, I think as coaches, we know our weaknesses better than probably our opponents because we self-scout and see it every day. But I also know where our strengths are and try to continue to build confidence and understand we're a good team. We have no doubt about that. And like I said, you know, the outcome, the score against Ithaca was not indicative, you know, but it comes back to how Hobart played as much as how Ithaca played. And I think to go beat a very good RPI team, it's going to come down to how well Hobart plays. And I know it sounds cliche, but it's really true, especially with this team, is we've shown signs of being really, really strong in a lot of areas. And we've also showed signs of just kind of like scratching your head saying like, wait a minute, those guys have already performed better in their careers. We don't need to at this point rely on a lot of our younger guys. But I challenged our younger guys to say now is the time, the second half of the season, to start stepping up and competing and don't get complacent in your spot. So I think we're in a good spot to finish the season strong. And like you said, push for the league title, push for postseason, all the things that are still ahead of us. But you can't like fast forward 4 or 5 weeks. The focus needs to be right now. And this is going to be a really tough challenge of going in and winning, like I said, at a place where they play well at home against a really good defense. And they're coming off of momentum. They're cruising right now. They've had two big wins in league play. They're confident. And we're going into a team that they plan to win the conference. So I think for our guys, it's a really awesome opportunity. And that's what our focus is on, is the excitement of going in and beating a team that is contending for the title. And if we're going to be contenders, we got to go in and show we can perform well in these situations.
It's a brand new season. Win 5 and let everything else take care of itself.
Control we can control, Dad.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it. Good luck on Saturday.
Appreciate you. Have a good day.
Again, that's a 12 noon kickoff at RPI on Saturday. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts or otherwise. Of course, also at hwsathletics.com, the official website for all your Hobart and William Smith sports news. Until next week, have a great football Saturday.